listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your listener-supported radio station, 88.3 on your FM dial and online at WAIF883.org. I'm Louisa Dyer, your host every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. It's a show focused on spirituality and personal growth with a little inspirational music thrown in to give us some musical lessons. And so we're going to play a little bit more of that music while I get myself set up here. Open our hearts and our minds. And we've been listening to Walk With Me From Here to Here. And we're going to go back to that CD. It's their Waking Journey CD. And I will see you back here in a few moments. Enjoy. Listening to the wonderfully diverse WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its Board of Trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. Thank you so much for listening. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and I'm Reverend Louisa Dyer, your host every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern. And what we're doing on this show is we're really tapping into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives within all forms of life. It actually animates all of life, including my life and your life. And so if and when we can begin to welcome that connection with that divine spark that lives within us, then we can begin to wake up to the beauty in life, to the glory in life. And that's really my passion. And what I love doing is teaching really doable, practical ways that every one of us can have happier, more peaceful, more connected lives. You know, I love God. I love life. And when we reclaim our connection with whatever we call God, when we reclaim our connection with that divinity, it lives inside of us. And so when we do that, we reclaim our own vitality. And what starts happening is we begin living from our deepest truth. And that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about personal and spiritual growth. And that is my personal passion and has been for many years. And the way I say that for myself is that I want to live in a state of unconditional love. That's what I think all the spiritual teachers have taught throughout time, from Jesus to Buddha to Krishna, everyone. If we live in a state of unconditional love, then we live with that sense of God in us and around us. I am a metaphysical minister, and I do consider myself very spiritual, although not particularly religious. And it is my intention always to inspire you. And so that's what we're going to be doing here. We're going to find out different ways, different tools to have that peace and that vitality and that joy that I believe is our birthright. We are divinely created beings. And so when we have a more consistent awareness and experience of that divinity in us, then we feel more alive. And that's what I'm doing here. So last week we talked about Byron Katie and her four questions of inquiry that teach you how to stop thinking things you would rather not be thinking, because from Katie's point of view, all suffering arises from untrue thoughts. And so her work is about inquiring in your mind about what those thoughts are true or not. And it's called The Work. That's literally what she calls what she does. And if you want to find out more about Byron Katie that we talked about last week, you can just go to thework.com and you'll find that. Today we're going to be talking about a book that has had me very excited for a long time. It's called The Biology of Belief, written by Bruce Lipton, who is a cell biologist. It's a bestseller book, and it has been for quite a while, actually. It was published in 2005 originally, and then republished in 2008. And Bruce Lipton is an internationally recognized leader in bridging science and spirit. And he's a stem cell biologist. That's what he's been trained in. And he was a teacher at the University of Wisconsin's very prestigious School of Medicine, and also at Stanford University in California. He's written other books, and he's been a speaker on hundreds of shows and TV shows, radio shows. The subtitle of this book, The Biology of Belief, is Unleashing the Power of Consciousness, Matter, and Miracles. And so I'm really excited, actually, to be talking about this book today. And so what it really does is it explains how what we think affects every cell in our body and how that shapes our lives. And it was a really profoundly controversial book when it first came out. And now it's become very accepted in terms of the sciences and biology. Because what he does is he completely blows out of the water the theory that your life is shaped, your life is controlled by your genes or your DNA. It is true that the DNA and your genes give you tendencies. But what he has discovered and done science in this book to show you, and it's quite amazing, is that the DNA and the genes are actually shaped by what happens in our environment. And that means our internal environment, from thoughts and feelings, as well as the external environment. And so we're not really controlled by our genes or DNA, as was previously thought. And so it's very exciting, and it's going to actually change the way that you think about thinking. So it's a pretty exciting book, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about it. We start each show with some great music to really bring the body, mind, and spirit into alignment through the power of love, because that's what gets expressed through the lyrics and the sounds of all these really special musicians that I'm playing. And then we're going to learn how to change our thinking in a real scientific sort of way to create happier, healthier lives. This is Your Dreams Brought You Here by Here to Here. Enjoy. spirits. For those just joining us, our show until 3 today, every Wednesday really, from 1 to 3, is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And I am Louisa Dyer, a spiritual life coach and metaphysical minister with a master's degree in holistic psychology and 25 years clinical experience. I use muscle testing to know the truth and also communicate easily with your higher self. I read the Akashic Records and teach WOW processing and bliss work, two energy psychologies I co-created because my passion is helping people heal and grow. I work nationally by phone, 513-248-0069, with details online at louisadyer.com. I look forward to connecting with you. So our show, Inner Divinity, is about inspiring you to discover and to use the many tools that are available to reclaim the power and the love and the incredible peace that I believe is our birthright as a divinely created being. And it's, you know, it's the 4th of July, so I hope all of you are being very safe and having a whole lot of fun and staying cool. It is very hot. But it's a wonderful day to think about independence. And I got really excited when I realized that I was doing this show on the biology of belief on Independence Day, because that's really what it's about. It's about how to be independent, how to be empowered in your own self. And we're not controlled by our DNA and our genes, and that is what this book is really, really going to talk to us about. So we can actually learn how to change ourselves and how we experience life, and our lives change when we change on the inside. I know because I've done it, and I've helped a lot of people do it, and it's all possible through God, through source energy, through divine essence, whatever you call that. You know, you can call it Great Spirit, you can call it God, you can call it Jesus, Buddha, Krishna. Whatever you call Source, I call it God. That divine energy, that's what we're made out of. That's what makes us alive, and it lives inside of us. And because of that, because it lives inside of us and inside of every other person and every other thing, when we tap into that, all things are possible. And so today and every day that we meet here on the radio, we're just talking about different ways to do that, because there are a lot of different people with a lot of different things going on and a lot of different personalities, and I'm bound to talk about something at some point that is going to be something that works for you. And I guess part of my idea is I just want you to know that you never have to be stuck in misery. I was stuck there for a really long time, and thank God I came up out of that, and I know that you can too. And it's really, it's my great honor to be here talking with you about this stuff today, because I know how much it inspires me to do that. Because if I can think and feel and live in new ways that feel better, then I feel healthier, and I get to experience more joy and peace and prosperity, and so can you. And so this book that we're looking at today, The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, it actually documents the science of how we can do that. This book literally spells out the difference of what happens in our physical body when we're thinking positive thoughts and when we're thinking negative thoughts. So it's like, wow, I love it when science backs up what I know intuitively and spiritually. What I want you to know right away is that I'm really not going to be talking much about the science that's in this book. I mean, it is impressive science, and it is written for the layperson. So really, almost anybody could understand it, but I think it's a bit, it goes a bit deeper into how cells actually function than it's easy to discuss on the radio. But I do highly recommend the book for anybody who is in school of any kind, especially if you're into the healing art or the sciences or philosophy. Because Bruce Lipton is actually as much of a philosopher, I have come to realize, as he is a scientist. And usually those two things don't go together. And I think that's part of why I get so excited about this book, because I think of myself that way. I'm very left-brained. I'm very analytical. I think of myself as a scientist. I want to know what works. I'm also very philosophical. And I know that God is, because I experience that. So I love it when people can pull those fields, those ideas all together and make them make sense. And in the very beginning of this book, The Biology of Belief, there's a praise section. And there's just one quote I want to read to you from there. It says, this book is an absolute must read if you want to know from a scientific point of view that your lifestyle is in control of your health rather than your genetics. From a scientific viewpoint, Lipton demonstrates that the mind is more powerful than drugs to regain our health. The information reveals that your health is more your responsibility than just being a victim of your genes. When I started reading this book, I could not stop until it was finished. And that was a quote by M.T. Mortar Jr., D.C. He is the founder of the Mortar Health System. And that is in the beginning. And I just so agree with that, that I wanted to read that for you. Because basically what Lipton is doing in this book is he's giving scientific evidence for what mystics and spiritual teachers have always known, that all of life consists of one energy. There is one energy that is in everything in the universe, and everything in the universe is made out of that one energy. And what that means to me, and also meant to him by the time he had his sort of awakening experience, is that means God is everything, and everything is God. Everything is divine. And because of that, I think, everything affects everything else. There's nothing that can happen in the universe that doesn't affect everything else happening in the universe, because it's all, it's like inside of our bodies. Everything that happens to one part of our body, the rest of our body experiences it in some way, because it's one body. And it's just every little, you know, we have 50 trillion cells in our bodies, according to Bruce Lipton, who is a cell biologist and should know. And every one of those cells is affected by everything that happens to the body. Of course, that doesn't mean they're all doing the same thing all the time. Obviously not. But anyway, everything is connected, and it affects everything else. And that's true in our universe. It's also true in our bodies. Human beings have free will, and that's what makes us unique, because we get to decide what we're going to do and not going to do. We can make choices about how we think and feel and live, and we can make choices that make us happy or miserable. But the point is, we can make a choice. We're not just stuck with whatever our situation is. We can change, because we can change the inside of us. And when we change the inside of us, a lot of times outside circumstances will immediately shift. I think what I really like best about this book is that he explains in it why positive thinking isn't enough. And it's something I've been trying to get across to people, and it for as long as I've been doing counseling work with people. Because there's so many people out there that think, oh, well, you know, I'm a positive thinker, so why do bad things keep happening? Or, oh, yeah, I did affirmations for, you know, 6 years about this one thing, and nothing ever changed, so positive thinking doesn't work. And, you know, you're right. Positive thinking isn't enough. And the reason it isn't enough, he gets into in great detail in this book. And we're going to talk about that at length. But I'll just tell you right now that the basic distinction there is we have a conscious mind. That's the part of us that knows what we're thinking and can watch what we're doing. And the part of us that is aware of what's going on, whether that's inside of us or outside of us. But then we have an unconscious part of us, and or what psychologists would call the subconscious, meaning it's below the level of your conscious awareness. And different people have different ideas about how much of an individual is conscious and how much is unconscious. Bruce Lipton says, and gives a lot of research to back it up, that I think from neuroscience, that only 5% of who we are is conscious. That means 95% of what we're thinking and feeling, we don't even know we're thinking or feeling, because that's in our subconscious, our unconscious programming. And so psychologists have long known that, actually, that what usually sabotages someone is what's going on in the subconscious mind, not in the conscious mind. I mean, we've all had that experience, right? You make a New Year's resolution with your conscious mind. You know exactly what you're going to do, and you're all jazzed about it. Or a brand new diet. You know exactly how you're going to do it and what you're going to do. And, man, you're doing that so good for a day or maybe even a week. And then before you know it, you don't even remember what that New Year's resolution was. Or all of a sudden you realize that for 2 weeks you haven't been following your new diet. What happened? What happened is you stopped being conscious of it, and the subconscious programming that was in conflict with what you wanted to do consciously, that subconscious programming came forward. And since that's 95% of who you are, and conscious is only 5%, the moment that that happened, you just started doing what you'd always been doing. But so that's always been the trick, is how do you get to what's unconscious? I mean, if I don't know it's there, then how can I know it's there? How can I work with it? How can I do anything about it? And that's really what's so exciting and wonderful about this book, because he tells just explicitly how the programming inside of us happens, how we wind up in places that we don't want to be there. We never wanted to be there. I didn't choose to have this problem going on. So how in the world did I wind up with that? Well, he explains that in really simple language, and he also explains it in very scientific cell biology language for those scientific-minded folks. But we can. There's a whole lot of ways, and that's actually what this show is about, is bringing forward into conscious awareness all the different tools that are there to figure out what's going on in our subconscious programming so that we can change it if we want to. And so there's literally a whole new field of science, and it's called epigenetics. Let me say that again. Epigenetics. It's a new field of science, and it literally means control above the genes. And there's been about a quarter of a century now of science behind this. And what it really is it's the science of how environmental signals select and modify and regulate what's going on with your genes, what's going on with your DNA. And it reveals that the activity of our actual DNA, our genes, that activity is constantly being modified in response to life experiences. And what it's really coming to be self-evident that it's our perceptions of life that actually shape our biology. And that is a very radical idea for medicine, for example. But it's not radical, and it's not even new, and it's been a lot of science behind it. Anyway, it's a beautiful new field, and a lot of the energy psychologies and the energy medicines that a lot of people are starting to use are coming out of the understandings that are happening in epigenetics. And I'm just going to read you a little quote here. This is from Biology of Belief, page 37. He says, in the last decade, epigenetic research has established that DNA blueprints passed down through genes are not set in concrete at birth. Genes are not destiny. Environmental influences, including nutrition, stress, and emotions, can modify those genes without changing their basic blueprint. And those modifications, epigeneticists have discovered, can be passed on to future generations. That is what's exciting and new. So if we learn something new, we can actually pass what we've learned down to our kids. I just think it's just so incredibly exciting. And we have a lot more to talk about here. We've really just gotten started. But when I read this book the first time a number of years ago, you know, I sort of had the idea of, yeah, I know that. And then I didn't really read the science part of it too closely when I did it that time. And then recently, I got to thinking about it. The book has always been in the back of my head, but it was just a book that supported what I already knew and what I already believed. And then somebody asked me a question recently, and I pulled the book out to use it as a reference, and I realized, oh my gosh. And then he actually says in the book that all the leading edge scientists, or people like me who read this kind of stuff, are already familiar with all of these concepts, that there really isn't anything new in this book for people who read this kind of stuff. But that 99% of the population doesn't know this stuff. 99% of the population is still operating from what is actually disproved beliefs about being victims of their genes. And that includes most medical professionals, unfortunately. There is another quote by the author in here that I think is just phenomenal, that actually speaks to that. He says, "It is my sincerest hope that you will recognize that many of the beliefs propelling your life are false and self-limiting, and you will be inspired to change those beliefs. Understanding on a scientific level how cells respond to your thoughts and perceptions illuminates the path to personal empowerment." The biology of belief is not a self-help book. It is a self-empowerment book. The information offers knowledge of self, and from that knowledge comes the power to control your life. Whew, isn't that great? That's what the book is about. And lots of people have talked about how amazing they found the book. And one of those people was a best-selling author, Dr. John DeMartini, who wrote a number of books. And this is what he had to say about this book. He says, "The biology of belief is a milestone for evolving humanity. Dr. Bruce Lipton has provided, through his amazing research and in this inspiring book, a new, more awakened science of human growth and transformation. Instead of being limited by the genetic or biological constraints that humanity has been programmed to live by, humanity now has before it a way of unleashing its true spiritual potential with the help of simply transformed beliefs guided by the gentle and loving hand of God. A definite must-read for those dedicated to the mind-body movement and to the true essence of healing." Isn't that beautiful? And that's really what this book is about. I want to read one more praise from this book, because I love this one too. And it gives you an even bigger, broader picture of what the book is about. I'm doing this because I don't really want to try to talk about science on the radio. But the science in the book is really easy, and almost anybody could follow it. I am going to talk in depth about a lot of the stuff in the book, but I'm really wanting to give you an idea of how deep and broad and how inspiring and loving and how filled with God really this book is. But here's another quote in the beginning from Joseph Mercola. He is a doctor of osteopathy, and he is the founder of Mercola.com, which is the world's most visited natural health site online. And Dr. Mercola says, "Finally, a compelling and easy to understand explanation of how your emotions regulate your genetic expression. You need to read this book to truly appreciate that you are not a victim of your genes, but instead have unlimited capacity to live a life overflowing with peace, happiness, and love." Now that's what I'm talking about. And that is what this show is about. And so that's what we are doing here. Wow, it is so exciting. So before I get carried away and totally forget to say it, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners from all of us here at WAIF. You made our spring fund drive a huge success. Our listeners are the best. So thank you. Thank you very, very much for doing that. We are talking about the human body and how we can empower our own physical, mental, emotional health by changing what we think. And we're looking today at this book, The Biology of Belief. And Bruce Lipton, who was a cell biologist, he sort of blew my mind in the beginning of this book when he said that humans have 50 trillion cells. Now, imagine that. There are 50 trillion cells in your body. and they're all working together. If that isn't a testament to how cooperative life is, I don't know what is. 50 trillion little cells all working together, and they all make up your body, and they make up all the different systems and organs. And, you know, for millions of years, there were just on this planet, the fossil records indicate that there were single-celled organisms. And then over time, over a long period of time, they came together, and then they came together more and more. And from they went from one single-cell organism to 10 or 20 or 100 cells to now we have humans with 50 trillion cells. Cells are smart. They move toward what is healthy and away from what is toxic. Otherwise, they wouldn't live. And that's true for single cells that require, you know, microscopes to see. And it's true for the communities of cells that make up the things that we see. Your body, the tree, or the animal. And this book shows us how, because of how those cells operate, that it's our beliefs that control our bodies. It's our minds that controls our lives. And we are going to listen to a little bit of inspiring music now. And this is another track from the Here to Here album that we've been listening to. And the song is Holy. And I think it fits with what we're talking about. Enjoy.
Jesus, Buddha, Kali, Krishna, Isis, Mandela, Sophia, Mohammed, Yahweh, Sai Baba, La Virgen, Maria, Welcome Tanka.
Thank you.
Welcome back, all you beautiful spirits. That was Holy by Here to Hear, their Waking Journey CD. Whew, that was beautiful. They were doing a lot of Om in there and claiming wholeness as well as holiness. That was really beautiful. I hope you weren't driving when you were listening to that, really, because that was putting me in a meditative state, and I would not want to have been driving there. But anyway, if you are just joining us, I am Reverend Louisa Dyer, your host, every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern on WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM, and online at WAIF883.org. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And today we are talking about Bruce Lipton's best-selling book, really, called The Biology of Belief. And we had gotten to the place where we were talking about cells and how the cells all come together. And, you know, they used to be single cells, and then they got together and started living cooperatively in community. And then, you know, now cells are like your body. The human body has got about 50 trillion cells in it. But anyway, I want to read you a little thing that he says. This is a quote from page 9 in The Biology of Belief. Single-celled organisms were the first life forms on this planet. Fossil evidence reveals they were here within 600 million years after the Earth was first formed. Around 750 million years ago, these smart cells figured out how to get smarter when the first multicellular organisms, plants and animals, appeared. While the cellular communities appear as a single entities to the naked eye, a mouse, a dog, a human, they are, in fact, highly organized associations of millions and trillions of cells. When cells band together, they increase their awareness exponentially. But in order to survive at such high densities, the cells create structured environments. It proved more efficient for the community to have individual cells assigned to specialized tasks. In the development of plants and animals, cells begin to acquire these specialized functions in the embryo. In larger organisms, for example, only a small percentage of cells are concerned with reading and responding to environmental stimuli. That is the role of groups of specialized cells that form the tissues and organs of the nervous system. The function of the nervous system is to perceive the environment and coordinate the behavior of all the other cells in the vast cellular community. So, basically, I'm not going to get any deeper into the science than that. But I had to read that part to say what he studied was individual cells and how individual cells operate, and then discovered that when all the cells come together, they continue operating exactly like they did before, but instead of each single cell doing every single thing, they create structures like the nervous system or the immune system or the respiratory system, so that different parts of you are taking care of different things, and so everything can just be taken care of itself, and you don't even really have to pay attention to it. In fact, you don't even really know what's going on. And a lot of what's happening at that cellular level is what we were talking about before. It's subconscious. It's below the level of your consciousness. You know, some of it is just instinct, your eyes blinking. The subconscious and the instinctual part of us works a whole lot faster than the conscious part of us works. So if suddenly a projectile is coming toward our eye, our subconscious can move us out of the way, where the conscious mind didn't even hardly see it, much less have the opportunity to think about moving away. And so there's a great advantage to having a conscious mind and having a subconscious mind, because what it means is that, you know, we get to be aware of what we want to be, really. But there's lots and lots and lots. There's literally billions of interactions going on inside of our bodies every second. And if we had to be conscious of that, well, I'm sure we wouldn't be sane. How could you possibly be sane if you were conscious of, you know, every beat of your heart and all the blood flow and how all the little cells are doing what they're supposed to be doing? But, you know, I think we're created in a divine way. I mean, it's actually written in Genesis in the Christian Bible that we are made in the image of God. And personally, I think we need to put spirit back into our lives if we want to improve our physical and our mental health. And amazingly, this book about the science of how your cells work shows you how to bring spirit back into your life. In fact, the epiphany that happened for Dr. Lipton to write this book, he went from being a very, what somebody might call a basic scientist, even a little Newtonian, atheistic, and in the process of discovering the beauty and the glory, really, of how life actually works, he has become a spiritual human being who now believes in God, because now he sees that there's no way that could have happened randomly, right? We are divinely created. And so this book is a very exciting and very scientific, but written in simple language. Like, what do they call that? Lay language. Because anybody could understand this book. And it is almost guaranteed to get you very excited. If you are suffering from some sort of physical ailment, or you are suffering from some sort of mental or emotional trauma, what he will let you see as you read this book is that in some way you have been programmed to experience that. And if you can get conscious of what that programming is, then you can eliminate that from your life. Very exciting stuff. It's something that I've believed for a long time, but I love it when science backs up what, you know, mystics and spiritual teachers have taught throughout human history. But I don't want to scare anybody about the science in the book. I mean, even I understood it. And, you know, I'm 57 years old and I haven't had a science class in a very, very long time. So it's really written for the lay person. But each chapter focuses on a different aspect of how what we think and feel affects our lives. And I was sort of going to go over what he says about the chapters. I don't think I'm going to read that right now. But he tells you really up front what each chapter really focuses on. And it makes the book more sensible, because you really get a good idea of how the book is laid out and how easy it is to read. The thing that's really exciting that I can't leave out from this chapter part is that in chapter 3, he had made a discovery, and then he has gotten research that backs it up. He made this discovery in 1985, and then in 1997, in one of the most prestigious science journals that there is, Nature, a lot of researchers got together and confirmed the hypothesis that he came up with then, that the cell membrane, every cell, think of those 50 trillion cells in your body, the cell membrane in every one of those little bitty cells is a structural and functional equivalent of a silicone chip. Is that wild? It's a semi-permeable crystal membrane. That is a functional definition of the silicone chip. But the exciting thing about that isn't what it is so much, is the fact that it's programmable, just like a computer chip. And these researchers, who were scientists, who didn't believe in anything remotely spiritual, sort of, after this research, did believe in things remotely spiritual, because they suddenly realized that the body was not this mechanistic, you know, machine that went from A to B to C to D in a really linear way, that it's much more of a holistic thing, and that you can compare it actually to a personal computer because it is programmable. And the sort of mind-blowing thing they realized is that just like with a computer, the programmer lies outside the computer. The programmer lies outside the cell. So we are not controlled by our genes. We're controlled by our thinking, our beliefs. And so each chapter, he takes you sort of from a different slant to understand how that's happening in your body and in your mind and in your emotions. And then in chapter 7, what he does is he pulls it all together. And in chapter 7, he actually calls that conscious parenting. But the benefit of it for me was, is that it gives us an insight. He really breaks it down of how we got programmed with all these negative beliefs in the first place and why they're still impacting our lives, even though we don't really, it's like nobody wants to be sick. Nobody wants, well, most nobody wants to suffer or wants to be sick. And yet, according to this and according to lots and lots and lots of other research, we create these things. We create these sicknesses and we create these challenges. We don't do it on purpose. Of course we don't. Nobody wants to be. This is not about blaming ourselves or our parents. But it's because only 5% of us is conscious and 95% of us is unconscious. And so when we're kids, especially up until the age of 6, but it continues going on our whole life, but because of the way the brain structure grows and develops and changes, you know, our brains are very different up until about 2 years old, and then from about 2 to 6, and then from 6 to 10, and the brain goes through really clear developmental cycles. But especially in those first 6 years, kids' brains just take in everything. They have almost no filters on them. So everything that they see, hear, from parents, from friends, from TV, from video games, from school, from teachers, it just is taken in. And it becomes part of their subconscious programming, and you don't even know that it's there. But it's nonetheless true for us. So if, you know, I have this program that says, I'm a fat, ugly slob, and it's in my subconscious, and then suddenly one day when I'm 37, I wake up and go, you know, I would really like my house to be neat and clean and put all together, and I'm going to keep my house neat and clean from now on. And I set up full intention to do that. Usually that doesn't last very long, because the minute I stop making that a conscious choice, I go back into what the subconscious programming is. Because if the conscious mind and the subconscious mind are in conflict, and the subconscious is 95% of us and the conscious is 5, guess who's going to win out? Seriously, guess who's going to win out on that one? Thankfully, there are a lot of ways that we can overcome that, and that's what we're going to talk about here in just a minute. So before I go any further here, I want to read another public service announcement, and this is for Grailville. And Grailville is owned and operated by the Grail, an international movement of women in 18 countries working for social transformation. Grailville is located in Loveland, Ohio, and offers programs on ecology, spirituality, feminism, the arts, and social justice. For more information on the programs offered at Grailville, call 513-683-2340 or check out their website at www.grailville.org. And that is spelled G-R-A-I-L-V-I-L-L-E, grailville.org. And I think I am going to have some women from Grailville on the show next week and interview them, because this is the place I've been wanting to go ever since I came to Ohio. And I haven't managed to get there yet because I hear they have a wonderful maze to walk. And for those of you who don't know, people who have been on contemplative or meditative paths, walking the maze has been a tradition in a lot of spiritual paths for hundreds of thousands of years. And so they have a maze. They actually have two mazes there, I hear. And I'm looking forward to that. So maybe we'll have them on the show next week. Still not 100% sure about that, but I think so. So what we do on every show is talk about practical, everyday ways that we can live happier, healthier lives. Because personally, I believe it's our divine birthright to be happy, healthy, and whole, to really have an experience of that. And so my intention and my passion always is inspiring and teaching so that everybody can do that for themselves. And in this book that we're looking at today, The Biology of Belief, what we're discovering is that part of the reason that we haven't even changed when we wanted to is that we have a conscious mind and we have a subconscious mind. And in that subconscious, well, my background is in psychology, so I call it subconscious. Dr. Lipton actually calls it the unconscious. But regardless, neuroscientists agree with psychotherapists and psychologists that most, I usually say 90%, 90% of what's going on inside of us is unconscious. We don't even know it. It's below our level of consciousness. 10% of what's going on inside of us we know about or we could know about. And so that's why it's been so hard to change, because your conscious self wants to change, but you've got this subconscious programming that doesn't allow that change to happen. And so that's what this book can really make you understand. So it takes away the shame. It takes away the guilt. I know I had lots of shame and guilt for many years because I knew what I should do differently, but I couldn't do it. And that really was not only frustrating and distressing, but it made me feel ashamed, actually. And so I love, especially this book, I love Chapter 4. Because what he does in Chapter 4 is he actually makes quantum physics very simple. I love quantum physics. But he takes it and he applies it to biology. Now, physics, I don't know for any of you who know, but physics is the foundation for all the scientists. Biologists and medicine, unfortunately, in my opinion, rely on Newtonian physics, the physics of the material world. But the amazing thing to me is physicists actually abandoned their belief in a Newtonian material universe in the early 1900s. It's like almost, well, certainly by 1925. Why are we still living by Newtonian physics when physicists abandoned that whole idea? Because in the early 1900s, certainly by 1925, they had come to realize that the concept of matter itself is really an illusion, because everything in the universe is made of energy. Now, what? That's the basic of quantum physics, and it's really fun to talk about. But basically, in a nutshell, it's this. Previously to quantum physics, everybody thought the atom was the smallest thing that was there. And then in 1896, listen how long ago that was, they discovered that it wasn't the smallest thing, that the atom was actually made up of subatomic elements. And everything, that's what I love about quantum physics, everything has its own vibration, its own particular signature because of those elements. I'll read you the way that Lipton talks about it. This is on page 70 in the book. He says, quantum physicists discovered that physical atoms are made up of vortices of energy that are constantly spinning and vibrating. Each atom is like a wobbly spinning top that radiates energy. Because each atom has its own specific energy signature, its own wobble, assemblies of atoms, which are molecules, collectively radiate their own identifying energy patterns. So every material structure in the universe, including you and me, radiates a unique energy signature. And so what they began to discover early in the 1900s is if they looked inside, you know, all of us when we were in school, we saw the atom, it sort of looked like a solar system, you know, with the atom and the nucleus in the center and then all the electrons flying around it. Everybody remember that picture? Well, actually what they've discovered 50 years ago is that if you actually look at an atom with a very strong microscope, from very far away it looks blurry. And then the closer you get to it, the less you see it. Until when you get right up on it, what they discover is that nothing is there. Now, is that trippy or what? But that's quantum physics, and I'm not even going to try to get into that discussion because it will blow your mind. But what I want you to understand is that Atoms are made out of invisible energy, not tangible matter. That means that everything is made out of energy. That matter really is an illusion. We're not going to get into that because that could really make us crazy, but it's what Einstein was talking about. And let me just read you this quote from page 71. The fact that energy and matter are one and the same is precisely what Einstein recognized when he concluded that E equal mc squared. Simply stated, this equation reveals that energy, which is the E, equals matter, which is the M, or mass, multiplied by the speed of light squared. So the speed of light would be the C squared. E, energy, equals mass times the speed of light squared. Einstein revealed that we do not live in a universe with discrete physical objects separated by dead space. The universe is one indivisible dynamic whole in which energy and matter are so deeply entangled, it is impossible to consider them as independent elements. Whoa, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. So, but that's how things like spontaneous healing can happen. That's how these amazing feats of strength or endurance that, you know, you've heard about or maybe you've actually done yourself, that's how it happens. Or people who walk across hot coals. I know hundreds of people who have walked barefoot across, you know, burning hot coals, and they weren't burned at all. I have not walked across burning hot coals because I believe that my feet would burn. So I'm not going to do it until I know that that would be different. But how are these things, these supposedly physical things, possible? It's because quantum physics keeps all the Newtonian laws of physics in terms of, you know, all the planets are still spinning around exactly the way they were when we thought that's all there was. But quantum physics has a much bigger picture of the universe because it understands that there is this invisible energy in and around the body. And that's how all kinds of things can happen that aren't like reasonable in physical reality. So, and that's the beauty and the joy of this book. And the way that we can, the way that we can work with the subconscious, even though it's 90% of us and the conscious is only 10%, is because we have free will and because the universe is one indivisible whole thing. All we ever have to do is bring our attention to what that thing is that's unconscious. And then it has awareness to it. It's no longer unconscious. And then we can make a choice about letting it go. And there's been a whole lot of things called energy psychologies and energy medicines that have been developed in the last 25, 30 years out of this understanding of how matter and energy actually exist. This show, every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. I believe we are divinely created beings, and we are here talking about God and Source and divine energy and the love in our hearts and how it is our birthright, and it's up to us whether or not we claim it. And so now we've got a few more minutes, and we are going to continue talking about this incredible book, The Biology of Belief. And I really love the part about this, starting on, well, actually, it's all throughout the book, but he really gets into it. I believe it's in chapter 4, anyway, page 97. And I'm just going to read a quote, and then we're going to talk about what that means. He says, quote, "You need more than just positive thinking to harness control of your body and your life. It is important for our health and well-being to shift our mind's energy towards positive, life-generating thoughts and eliminate the ever-present, energy-draining, and debilitating negative thoughts. But, and I mean that in the biggest sense of but, the mere thinking of positive thoughts will not necessarily have any impact on our lives at all." This is what we've been talking about. And I'm going to do another quote here. He says, "The conscious mind, which represents the seat of our personal identity, source, or spirit, is the creative mind. It can see into the future, review the past, or disconnect from the present moment as it solves problems in our heads. In its creative capacity, the conscious mind holds our wishes, desires, and aspirations for our lives. It's the mind that conjures up our positive thoughts. In contrast, the subconscious mind is primarily a repository of stimulus response tapes derived from instincts and learned experiences. The subconscious mind is fundamentally habitual. It will play the same behavioral responses to life's signals over and over and over and over again. You know how when you get triggered, it happened to me just today, where you know better, but you get triggered. And some people call that getting my buttons pushed because, you know, I was trained as a therapist and worked in psychology for so long, I call it getting triggered. But some people say, oh, she really pushes my buttons. Well, when we're getting our buttons pushed, especially when you had decided you weren't going to get your buttons pushed in that way anymore, but you did again anyway, that's your subconscious programming overriding what you have consciously decides to do. So I'm going to go back and quote a little bit more because I think he says it so eloquently. He says, when it comes to sheer neurological processing abilities, the subconscious mind is more than a million times more powerful than the conscious mind. If the desires of the conscious mind conflict with the programs in the subconscious mind, which you think is going to win out. Fortunately, neuroscience has now established that the conscious mind runs the show at best only about 5% of the time, and the subconscious runs at about 95% of the time. And so what he shows in this book, and I'm going to quote him because it's such an astonishing statement. Quote, our lives are essentially a printout of our subconscious programs, behaviors that were fundamentally acquired from others, our parents, family, and community, before we were 6 years old. Think about that. Now see, end quote, make sure I ended that quote. Psychologists have known that for a long time, and that's sort of what psychology is based on. But unfortunately, psychology is slow. And, you know, people in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s especially would go to analysis 3 times a week, and they would do that for years and years. And that's what they were trying to do, is figure out what the subconscious programming is. And a lot of therapy, that's what it's about, is trying to figure out, why do I keep doing this stuff I don't want to keep doing? You're trying to find out what that subconscious programming is. And it's hard to do, I think, with regular talk therapy. And obviously a lot of other people have thought it was hard to do with regular talk therapy because me and a whole lot of other people have discovered and actually developed other ways of getting to that to change it so that it can happen faster. And those other ways understand a lot of things about quantum physics. I'm really talking about energy psychologies here. And energy psychologies use the understanding of quantum physics. They use the understanding that the brain controls the behavior of the body's cells. They use the understanding of that the energy in the universe is basically invisible, but that God is everywhere and in everything. And there's a whole lot of energy psychologies out there, and I can name a couple of them if you want to go and look some of them up yourself. There is, there's the one I co-created called Wow Processing, of course, which I think is the best because I did it and I created it because I wanted something different than all the others. And you can find out about that at the Wow Processing, at thewowprocess.com. There's also TAT, T-A-T, which stands for the Tapas Acupressure Technique. And I think that her website is tatlife.com. Both of those are energy psychologies. There's also one that a lot of people are familiar with called EFT, the Emotional Freedom Technique, because EFT has been around for a really long time. And it's a really simple thing to do, and so a lot of people have learned it. That is another energy psychology. And if you Google EFT, you can find all kinds of sites on that. Another one is PEAT, P-E-A-T, which is something that I studied and practiced for a number of years. And I can't even begin to tell you what PEAT actually stands for Primordial Energy Ascendance. I don't even know. It was some, they've now changed what PEAT means, but I mean what it stands for. The acronym now stands for something else. But all of those are energy psychologies. And the point of energy psychologies is to discover what's been held unconsciously and to clear that unconscious or that subconscious programming. And each one of those systems, and the one actually that Bruce Lipton used is called Psych-K, and he talks about that in the book. And that's also been around for probably about 20 years. It's less well known than a lot of the other ones because it's way more detailed than a lot of the other ones. And so I don't really have any experience with Psych-K, but all those other energy psychologies I mentioned, I do. And they're all amazing. They're all, well, what people tell me often about the WOW process, for sure, is that it's like 6 to 9 months worth of therapy in an hour, hour and a half. Because if you let it, it will show you what you've been holding in your body around a particular challenge, not only holding in your body, but in your mind and your emotions. And presence, it's actually, the WOW process uses the energy of presence, the divine energy of life itself, to clear out those old negative programmings, because where there is light, there can be no darkness. Where there is enough love, there is no more fear. And that's really what the WOW process does, is it's very gentle and very loving. And each one of the energy psychologies that I mentioned, WOW, TAT, PEAT, EFT, they all use different strategies to access what has been unconscious and bring it into consciousness so then it can be choicefully released. Because it's what's going on in our subconscious programming that is actually running our lives. Psychologists have known that for a long time. Spiritual teachers have known that. My favorite spiritual teacher is David Hawkins. And David Hawkins is always saying in every lecture I've ever been to or read of his, he says, there's never anything to gain. There is only stuff to let go of so that you are standing more clearly in the grace of God. And I really believe that. So all there ever is to do is to release our fear. That's really the best possible thing that we can do, is just be willing to release whatever fears we notice. And then when something's going on that we don't like it, whether it's a problem with our body or the problem with a person or a problem with the way we're feeling, if we can look at the fear that might be behind it and just be willing to release that fear, that is always the best place to start, is to release every fear that you're aware of. Because fear kills. It really does. Fear makes us sick. And if there is enough love present, fear will not exist. So as usual, I cannot even believe that the time is up here. I didn't get to say nearly all the things I wanted to say about The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. Love the book. It's amazing. It really shows how beliefs control your biology, not the other way around. And that growth and protection can't happen at the same time. So if we're protecting ourselves, that's what fear is about. We cannot grow. We have to give up the fear so that we can grow. And so life is about, love is about, joy is about feeling good, feeling safe, feeling happy, because then we can grow. And so I'm just going to close on that note. Otherwise, I'm just going to go on and on, and I have to stop here. I really look forward to seeing all of you here again next week. And check out the Facebook page for this show, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and you can find out whether we're going to interview Grailville next week. And in the meantime, we are going to play, I really do want to play that song for you on the way out of here, and I believe it is this one. So here we go. I will see you next week.